Morning. I'd like to begin this morning by reading from the Book of Mormon in the second book of Nephi, chapter 11, on page 146, starting with the 90th verse. And this is concerning a prophecy about our time that was given to Nephi. And the Gentiles are lifted up in the pride of their eyes and have stumbled because of the greatness of their stumbling block. And they have built up many churches. Nevertheless, they put down the power and the miracles of God and preach unto themselves their own wisdom and their own learning, that they might get gain and grind upon the face of the poor. And there are many churches built up which cause envyings and strifes and malice, and are also secret combinations, even as in times of old, according to the combinations of the devil. For he is the founder of all these things, yea, the founder of murder and works of darkness. Yea, and he leadeth them by the neck with a flaxen cord until he bindeth them with his strong cords forever. We can read this and see
that this is definitely is our day and age in which we live, where the devil has caused that many flaxen cords are put about people, that he might lead them away from Christ, that he might lead them to destruction, because that's his goal. His goal is to destroy the creation of God, to destroy every man. And he does this in many ways. One is, just as we've read, with the false doctrine in many churches that are there in many ways to deceive us. In second, in chapter 4 of Luke, we can read starting with verse 16. And this is of speaking of Jesus. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and his custom was, and as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And there, and in that we can read Christ's mission, what our Heavenly Father commanded him that he should do. And each one of these things are in opposition to what Satan would have for us. Each one of these things. Christ came to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Christ came to free us from those bonds that Satan would tie around us, those flaxen cords that would carry us to our destruction. And just as today, as in the time when Christ came, there were priestcrafts then, just as there are now,
and that bondage is the same then, or was the same then, just as it is now. And he also came to establish his church, and he also came, and in that he established God's kingdom here on earth with Christ as the head and with the word of God as its law. And as we're part of that kingdom and we follow those commandments that are there by design to keep us, to set us free from the captivity of the devil and to that we would not be led down unto this destruction, and that Satan would not be successful, and that we might be reconciled to God, and that Christ would be able to reclaim us for his heavenly Father. On page 125 in your Book of Mormon, second chapter of Nephi, starting with the 115th verse. It says, Elma fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy. And the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time, that he may redeem the children of men from the fall. And because that they are redeemed from the fall, they have become free, forever knowing good from evil, to act for themselves, and not to be acted upon, save it be by the punishment of the Lord and the great and last day, according to the commandment which God hath given. Wherefore, men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given to them which are expedient unto man. And they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediation of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity of the power of the devil. For he seeketh that all men might be miserable like unto himself. And now, my sons, I would that ye should look to the great mediator and hearken unto his great commandments, and be faithful to his words, and choose eternal life according to the will of his Holy Spirit, and not choose eternal death according to the will of the flesh and the evil which is in therein, which giveth the spirit of the devil power to captive, and to bring you down to hell, that he may reign over you in his own kingdom. We can read there that this time that man has his free agency, he has his agency to choose right and wrong, good and evil. And if we would choose good, if we would choose to follow after the Lord, and that in that we would escape the bonds of that the devil would put about us, we would escape this destruction and this captivity. And if we choose not those things that God would command us to do, then we find ourselves in that bondage. And it pretty much narrows it down. You either do or you don't. There's not much room there for straddling the fence. There's not much room there to pick something else. It's either one or the other. So we each have to choose. And whether we recognize our choice, we do make it. And if we don't recognize the choice that we've made, then we've possibly chosen to follow after the works of the devil. This life that we live is our time of probation. It's our time to choose. And the conditions in the world today are not that much different than the conditions that were in the world when Christ first came. And yes, we are in the last days, and we can read, as we read earlier, the prophecies, and we can see that the time is drawing short. But for us individually, that doesn't matter much, because we only have one life to choose, to follow the Lord. And whether it's in the year 2000 or whether it was in the year 1 after the birth of the Christ, it doesn't really make too much difference, because we only have one life and one choice. In Romans 14:17, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." The kingdom of God here on earth is the church. It's part of the kingdom of God. And Christ is the head of it. And the commandments and the laws that God has given us is for the government of the church. And it is by design meant to free us from the captivity of the devil, and that we might have peace, and that we might have joy in the Holy Ghost. And so, if we choose to become part of the kingdom of God, we have that promise that those commandments offer us. We have that peace. If we commit sin, and if we bring turmoil into our lives because of the breaking of these commandments or the disobedience to God's law, we cannot have that peace. So it's pretty easy to see how directly these things impact our lives. And though we may not see the freedom that following God's commandments allows us, we may not recognize it. But if we just sit back and take a look at it and ponder it, we can see that the restrictions that God would put on us and the things that we would do are for our benefit and do indeed give us freedom and do indeed give us joy. In Exodus 20, chapter 20, starting with verse 3, we can read some of the commandments that God has given. "And thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord, or the Lord thy God, in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And in it thou shalt not do any work, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy maidservant, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. These are what commandments that God gave to us that are part of His laws that we should follow. And we can look at each one of these and we should examine our lives to see how closely we follow them. In Mark chapter 6, starting with verse 10, it says, "For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou shalt mightest profit by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God none effect through your tradition which ye have delivered. And many such like things do ye. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken ye unto me every one of you, and understand." Here we can see where Christ is talking to the people at that time and how they were making the traditions, were making God's law for naught. And we can do this very same thing. I have to look at the Ten Commandments and I see sometimes that I don't always follow them as I should, especially keeping the Sabbath holy. We're in a country where if you're employed, it's considered a hardship by the employer if you don't work on Sunday. And so by law he can fire you, and he's legally justified to do that. So we really don't have control over that, and in a sense we're as a servant would be. And so if we have a job that we have to work in order to maintain or keep that job, I don't think that you're I don't think that you're totally answerable for that. I don't believe that the Lord would cause that you would be punished for that. But in those things where we can keep the Sabbath holy, we should. And I've done it. I've gone out to lunch or dinner on Sunday and caused that the waitress and the cook had to work on Sunday. And I've gone to the store and purchase things on Sunday and cause that they had to work and that they had to be there. And so these things are sin. This is breaking the Ten Commandments, or one of the Ten Commandments, and I've done this. And this is tradition. It's become tradition in our country that we can shop on Sunday and that we can go to lunch and that we can watch football and that we can play baseball. And these are traditions. And we have done, and I have done, this very same thing that Christ has spoken of to the law of God. And so, we should, or I should, certainly consider those things. in 3rd Nephi, or 3rd Nephi on page, I'm not sure what page, 675. Or also, well, let me back up. In Mark, chapter 12, verses 29, and Jesus answered, this is also another commandment that the Lord has given us. And Jesus answered, the first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Keeping the Sabbath day is showing our love for our God. If we set before us idols, we'll not be able to keep the Sabbath day, whether it's our job, whether it's shopping, playing football, baseball. These are all idols, or many times we hear the phrase that my ox is in the ditch and I have to have this task that I need to perform. I used to work at Kmart when I was in high school, and that was the time that the blue laws were repealed. And back then, if you were a store owner or a business, you were only allowed to be open on Sunday if it was an essential business. In other words, if you were a grocery store or a gas station. But if you're a hardware store or a department store like Kmart, you weren't allowed to be open. And so when they opened, I had to work some Sundays. And the store manager was not happy at all with having to be open Sunday. And he wasn't happy because he didn't really care one way or the other for Sunday, but he wasn't happy because he lost money on Sunday. People don't have, they only have so much money to spend, and they have 6 days a week to shop. And because Kmart was open Sunday, he had to pay his employees time and a half, and the shopping that they would have done Saturday, they did on Sunday instead. And so he wasn't happy, but my point is, that we have 6 days a week in order to do our shopping and play our games and do all those things. And if we fill that time up so much that we come to Sunday and there's things that we have to do on Sunday because we didn't get them done during the week, who have we set before us? Who have we called our God? Who are we worshiping? We're in danger of having idols. We're in danger of not loving our Heavenly Father enough that we should keep Sunday holy. And verse 31, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And in the second, and in these two verses and in these two commandments is all the law of God fulfilled. Because if we would not break the first, we would love God. And if we would not break the second, we would love our brother. And so these are commandments that God has set before us for the governing of our church or his church and to release us and save us from those bonds that Satan would put around us. And that would pull us down, and that would mean our destruction. On page 675, in our Book of Mormon, 3rd Nephi, starting with the 33rd verse. And it's on I've got my pages mixed up. And now this is the commandment. Repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, that ye may be sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost, that ye may stand spotless before me at the last day. Verily I say unto you, this is my gospel. And ye know that the things ye must do in my church, for the works which ye have seen me do, that shall ye do, ye also do. For that which ye have seen me do, even that shall ye do. Therefore, if ye do these things, blessed are ye, for ye shall be lifted up at that last day. So it's also a commandment that we be baptized. It's a commandment of God. And so, like I said earlier, we have a choice, either to serve God or not. And there's not much room there to straddle the fence. There's really no gray area. In Moroni, chapter 9, verse 6, it said, "Let us labor diligently, for if we should cease to labor, we should be brought under condemnation. For if we have a labor to perform, whilst in this tabernacle of clay, that we may conquer the enemy of all righteousness, and rest our souls in the kingdom of God." So this is speaking to our probationary state. While we're in this tabernacle of clay, this is what we are to do. So he says to repent and come unto him. And he says to be baptized. And this is a commandment. And Christ doesn't do this without compassion. He died for our sins and he suffered much. He suffered many temptations of the devil. And he endured the hardships of flesh and blood, so that he might be the intercessor for our souls. And he commands us to come unto him and repent and be baptized. Thank you.